From Pierre Corey's Medical Musings, Prologue. I did not plan to write a second book after From Volcanoes to Vitality FVTV. FVTV was meant to be the work. It began with a fascination with the volcanic mineral extract developed by the Japanese engineer Sao Shimanishi. The book that followed traced a single arc outward from that discovery, from volcanic rock into the history and domains of mineral science, then to water chemistry, from water chemistry into agriculture and hydrology, and from there into the biological consequences for human health. Following that trail led to the formulation of the geohydrological shift theory, a unifying diagnosis of the slow decline in the vitality of Earth's soils, crops, water systems, ecosystems, and human physiology alike. As a physician, one lesson has always stuck with me since early in my training: treatment without diagnosis is little more than guesswork. When the underlying cause of illness is misunderstood, therapies fail, symptoms persist, and sometimes the interventions themselves make the condition worse. Medicine advances only when the diagnosis is correct, because once the mechanism of disease is understood, the path to treatment often reveals itself. Over time, as my study of Shimanishi's unique extract brought me into several fields distinct from medicine, I discovered that the same principle applies. If the systems that sustain life on Earth are becoming unstable across soil, agriculture, water, ecosystems, and human health, the first obligation is not to prescribe solutions, but to understand what is actually failing. The geohydrological shift theory in FVTV was my attempt to answer that question. By identifying the disruption occurring within the mineral water systems that underlie biological vitality, a path toward restoring those systems began to emerge. Grandiose, perhaps. But that was the conclusion forced on me by many months of immersive research and writing in From Volcanoes to Vitality, what I regard as the most important work of my career in medicine and science. Yet, as FVTV was nearing completion, I found myself confronting something I had not anticipated. Even after arriving at a unifying theory of a loss of biological vitality on Earth, I had only begun to uncover the deeper mineral story. The act of writing FVTV revealed something I had not originally set out to describe. Beneath the agricultural observations, the mineral chemistry, and the biological responses lay a structural pattern organizing everything. Life appears to operate within a specific mineral water architecture, a planetary circuit in which water moves through geology. Geology imparts order to water. Water sustains energetic gradients, and those gradients coordinate metabolism across cells, tissues, and ecosystems. If this rock-water circuit truly represents a real feature of Earth's organizing biology, and if it extends current origin of life theories by showing how the same mineral chemistry that helped give rise to life also continues to renew the conditions that sustain it, then how could its structure have been described so long ago? Once the architecture of what I describe in Chapter Roman 3 as the primordial rockwater circuit became visible, a question arose that I could not set aside. I am not talking about the chemistry or the equations. I am talking about the architecture itself. Why did ancient texts repeatedly describe water emerging from rock as life-giving? Why was stone treated as foundational rather than inert? Why did so many traditions link sulfur, salt, fire, and water to both creation and decay? Why did they describe vitality and longevity as rising and falling with the condition of water? Those passages began to read less like metaphor and more like observation. Why Shimanishi matters here? Shimanishi never set out to explore those questions. He did not study alchemy or ancient texts. He worked experimentally, patiently, and for nearly two decades explored the chemistry of volcanic minerals and the sulfur reactions that could transform them into water-soluble forms. What he eventually produced was a liquid mineral extract capable of altering the behavior of water in ways that had practical consequences in agriculture, water purification, and biological systems. When Shimanishi wrote, "In the beginning there was a rock," he was describing the geological foundation of life as he had come to understand it through experiment. That sentence changed the way everything that followed came into focus for me. Originally, the theoretical framework describing this rockwater circuit was meant to appear as a late chapter in From Volcanoes to Vitality, serving as a capstone tying together the agricultural, hydrological, and biological observations that preceded it. But the more clearly the structure emerged, the more obvious it became that the order was wrong. The geohydrological shift described in FVTV, the argument that modern environmental changes are disrupting foundational mineral water systems, cannot be understood unless the intact architecture it presumes is first made visible. Presenting the disruption before the design would be like diagnosing a disease before explaining its anatomy. And so the order reversed. The blueprint of life now appears first, not as an introduction to the later work, but as the foundation that makes it intelligible. Once the architecture of the mineral water circuit becomes visible, the argument about its modern disruption begins to make sense. As this realization unfolded, the parallels that had first appeared as scattered curiosities began to form a pattern. They appeared across traditions separated by geography, language, and centuries, yet they clustered around the same physical roles that modern chemistry was revealing. Rock as origin, water as activation, salt as preservation, sulfur and fire as transformation, and dust as return. Eventually, curiosity gave way to something more deliberate. I began reading those texts directly not to confirm belief or disprove it, but to understand why the same structural pattern appeared long before the scientific tools existed to describe it physically. That decision surprised me as much as anyone. I am not a theologian, and I do not claim authority in scripture. I am a physician trained to follow patterns that hold up under scrutiny, but what emerged along this path explained too much, across too many domains, to ignore. The science presented in From Volcanoes to Vitality stands on its own. The mineral chemistry stands. The water behavior stands. The biological implications stand. What follows does not try to rearch those mechanisms. It is a record of what appeared once they were already in place, moments where modern science and ancient description seem to converge on the same underlying structure. And in the end, the whole story leads back to a very simple observation that started everything. A tree growing out of rock. Asterisk, if you value the late nights and deep dives into all the rabbit holes I write about or the op-eds and lectures I generate for the public, your support is greatly appreciated.